Hello everyone, and welcome to this episode of the Medical Geeks podcast. The NHS's own guidelines state that 95% of patients should be seen within the first 4 hours of their admission to A&E. This means that they have to be either discharged, transferred to a different provider, or admitted to a specialised hospital ward. Let's start exploring the usual problems with NHS waiting lists and the different ways the NHS tries to solve this problem. I'm your host, Nakeem, and let's go. So, as mentioned, the NHS's target is that 95% of A&E visitors should be seen within 4 hours. However, this is a very ambitious percentage to aim for, and there are many reasons why this is simply just not possible to achieve in many A&E departments. For example, understaffing, lack of resources, and people attending to A&E when they don't need to. It is estimated that if the NHS was to fix this problem, £3.8 to £5.2 billion would be needed. This is not something the NHS can afford with its very limited budget that is only getting smaller. So let's get more of an understanding of how A&E services work by understanding the different types of A&E services. Well, to start with, there is the Type 1 A&E facilities. And this type of A&E facilities is usually led by consultants. They run on 24/7 basis, and they include full resuscitation services and accommodation beds in case patients need to stay. The second type of A&E facility is a single bed specialty facility led by a consultant. And finally, the third and fourth types of A&E facilities can be combined together. And these are the more common and well-known type of A&E. You basically have walk-in centres or urgent care centres and even minor injury units. And you could even find some with units for severe toothaches. These are usually led by either consultants or nurses. And they're usually found in the community where they are most needed and they're most accessible by those who need them. And so now that we've had a look at the different types of A&E facilities, which one is usually behind? Well, it's usually type 1 A&E facilities that are behind their targets. It's not always the case that it's type 1, but in most cases it is type 1, and they constantly fail to meet their targets. Initially, the guidelines stated that 98% of patients needed to be seen within the first hours. However, having experienced how unrealistic that is, in 2010 this was reduced to 95% for two main reasons. The first one is that to help targets to be met, and the second one is that to boost the morale of A&E doctors. However, despite this reduction in targets from 98% to 95%, the new target was rarely met, as we've already discussed before. And to give you an idea of how difficult it is to achieve that target of 95% as well, by the end of 2018, the percentage reached of patients coming into A&E seen within the first 4 hours was 84.4%. Even though that was higher than the previous year, it was clearly not high enough, or at least not high to meet the 95% target. Another point that should be mentioned is that the percentages of targets met change seasonally. For example, usually winter seasons have the worst number of targets met, where healthcare services are usually strained the most due to a lot of infections and illnesses happening during that time of the year. If A&E departments continue to fail to meet their targets in the future, this will be harmful in many ways. Firstly, patient safety will start being compromised. If a patient presents with a minor injury or complaint, it might develop into something more severe and serious if it is not seen and sorted soon. And that has happened many times before, according to A&E doctors. Secondly, the NHS is usually presented in a very negative way because of these waiting lists and packed emergency departments. And finally, we can all see why such problems would be of higher concern during the coronavirus pandemic, where circumstances and hospitals mean that fully packed A&E department would be at a particular risk, especially due to the presence of COVID-19 patients. So, having looked at some aspects of why this is so problematic, how can this problem be solved? Well, to start with, the NHS Chief Executive Simon Stevens suggested a triage scheme to help A&E departments meet their targets. Basically, those with minor injuries and minor alignments are forced to wait longer whilst priority is given to those with higher risk injuries. That way, the chances of survival of someone with an acute injury will increase and their recovery will hopefully be maximized. On the surface, this sounds good. However, there are some concerns about the sort of priority that will be given to low-risk injuries. Some believe that people with minor injuries will now have to wait even longer than they used to before. This is especially true since it is proposed that in some cases, the minor injury unit can be used to see people with high-risk injuries. And as we've mentioned previously, there is the additional risk of a minor injury developing into something more serious if not seen soon enough. Another option that's been suggested is charging people for A&E attendances, quite simply. It is suggested that this will make people think twice before going into A&E. As a result, there will be much shorter queues in A&E departments, and this may reduce waiting times. However, people who oppose this solution remind everyone that this goes against the NHS's principle of free healthcare available for all for free at the point of delivery. Well, everyone, that was an overview of a very common problem that faces the NHS regularly. I hope that you have found this episode helpful. If you have any questions or any thoughts, drop us a message on Instagram at The Medical Geeks. Alternatively, you can visit our website, themedicalgeeks.com. Stay tuned for more episodes, and until then, stay safe. I'm your host, Nakeen, and goodbye.